transport and all our entities. We are about to commence with our media briefing, three media briefings before the delivery of Department of Transport. And in speech 2015-2016. We, however, want to alert you that the statement is embargoed up until late in the presentation of the speech by the minister. So we thought that it is important that we bring you up to speed in terms of what we'll be dealing with in the speech, because the speech is in the afternoon. So we are giving you privileged information so that you are able to plan for your report. Thank you very much. My name is Ishmael Nisi, I'll be program director, and we will be having the DG who will take over. I believe you will have the program, all of you, that the distributor, and the DG will take us through the dignitaries who are present here, and then we will proceed as such in terms of what is stipulated in the program. So I'd like to take the opportunity to invite the DG to the podium. Thank you very much.
Welcome you to this briefing session before before you are with us today here with the leadership of the Department of Transport, my Director General and the executive team, and we also have the relatives of our agencies, the 18th of them. So you will be able to interact with them after this, this briefing. The minister is supported here by the two ministers. Deputy Minister Shikunga, and the minister will give us an overview of what the budget vote will look like in the afternoon. Obviously, the program director is already indicated that the speech itself is still embargoed, but we'll get the opportunity to listen to it and interact with it later during the day. Because we are slightly behind time, let me not take much of your time. And let's welcome the Minister of Transport, Ms. Nguyen Peter, to read our statement.
Thank you, Dr. I was just waiting for you to call me because I was calling our supplies for the chairman. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen from the media. Thank you, Deputy Minister of Transport, Honorable Linda Chikunga, the Director General of the Department of Transport, Mr. Kule Zilete, officials of the Department of Transport, as well as captains and CEOs of the transport entities who are here, members of the media, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. 21 years ago, we began a new journey to eradicate the social leadership of colonialism and apartheid. It has been 21 years of freedom and democracy in which we have made significant steps in achieving the vision of the Bill of Rights. This has been a collective South African effort personified in the greatness of the more than 3,000 delegates who gathered at Cape Town, Soweto on the 25th and 26th of June, 1955. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that the lives of our people in South Africa have vastly improved, and South Africa today is a much better place than it was before 1994. Over the past 3 months, the ANC government has worked together with all South Africans to do more to fight poverty, unemployment, as well as to reduce inequality. More of our people have been lifted out of extreme poverty. We have created more jobs than before, expanded social grants, housing and basic services to our people, and further improved access to better education and healthcare. Our journey continues. The transport sector, or as the transport sector, we have ensured that we implement radical socio-economic transformation to meaningfully address poverty, unemployment, and inequality. More than ever before, through our modes of transportation, we work together to promote nation building, unity and social solidarity as we free the economy from the shackles of the past. We cannot let until the economy is in the hands of the people who are historically excluded from participation. Ladies and gentlemen of the media, transport is a mover of people, goods and services. It is the heartbeat of the economy and the framework of our socio-economic development agenda. The commitment that we make as a department is to implement the national development plan, the key priorities on the maintenance of road infrastructure, upgrading rail infrastructure and services, as well as building and operating our public transportation. Today in the budget speech, to make it clear that my personal priority will be to advance the debate about the national system of infrastructure funding and services for our transport infrastructure and services. These are the ideas we want to explore further with all stakeholders as we work towards improving our national framework, which will be part of our overall transport solution. Through this budget that we will be taking today, we are investing 53.7 billion rand. 53.7 billion rand, which is a 6% increase in real terms compared to the 2014-15 financial year. The ANC government has made an unprecedented commitment to high levels of funding over the next 10 years, with the budget expected to increase to 59.3 billion rand, or 11% by 2017-18. The programs of the Department of Transport are mainly implemented through the 13 transport public entities, as well as provinces and municipalities. Hence, transfers and subsidies are the largest spending item in the budget. At 47.8 billion rand in 2014-15, transfers and subsidies constitute 96.7% of the 2014-15 adjusted appropriation allocation. Therefore, the importance of the department's capacity to provide thorough oversight over this entity and not over any fund. The Department of Transport contribution to the NPP is underpinned by the National Transport Master Plan 2050 vision. The NETMAP is therefore aimed at delivering a dynamic, long-term and sustainable transportation system framework, which is demand resources and that provides a coordinated transport agenda for the whole country. In response to the NDP point, in 2014, the ANC government further made a commitment that new jobs will be created and skills developed, by manufacturing and assembly, amongst others, locomotive and trains in South Africa. When taking the department's budget list today, we will be reporting on this important breakthrough and giving further details about what we are going to do. Our determination to transport economic goods through rail will also ensure that we reduce the number of road crashes and fatalities on our roads. This move will equally unlock more economic potential and job creation in the rail sector. It will also help to decrease congestion costs by freight importing dangerous and heavy goods. The durability of our roads will also be guaranteed. Ladies and gentlemen, the ANC government increased transport funding to record levels, with 25 billion rand over the last 5 years alone and 5 billion rand in the 2014 financial year. This is unprecedented And through these levels of funding, we have, among others, recorded serious breakthroughs. And the details will be presented in the two budget speeches when we give a provincial breakdown on how the budgets have been broken out to the nine provinces and to municipalities. Among other achievements, by 2016, we expect Gautrain and the South African National Taxi Council to commence with the rollout of the pass system in their operation. We expect at least 5 million cars to be in use in the next 5 years. Members of the media, you all know that the taxi industry remains the most important part of our public transport system. And according to the 2013 National Health Road Survey conducted by SSA, taxis are the preferred type of road transport. The taxis move 68% of the 5.4 million passengers on a daily basis and contribute immensely to our economy. Serious interventions will be announced in the budget speech to make sure that we can continue creating opportunities for the taxi industry. The department will be reviewing the taxi recognition model to improve effectiveness and affordability. And ladies and gentlemen, our investment in public transport is a delivery because we can build on. For the first time in a generation, we have a real opportunity to deal with the challenges in public transport, not simply fixing the failures of the past. The history of our road network was until the 90s, characterized by gradual decline and stagnation that bedeviled road users and our economy. Many of our roads were built many years ago. And we know that hardly any significant new highways have been built since 1986, except for those that were constructed as part of the toll project. And in that time, traffic on our roads has increased to levels that were simply never anticipated. From 5 million vehicle population in 1994 to over 11 million vehicle population in 2014. Our key priority is to improve the state of the road network, reduce congestion, and improve reliability. That is why the AS government has invested substantially on the road network. And we have also doubled the capital funding available to provincial and local governments so that they can tackle the maintenance backlog on provincial and local roads. Like I've indicated, there are over 6 million more vehicles on our roads today than they were in 1994. And traffic looks set to continue growing, much on roads that are already operating at close to capacity during this period. We have an optimistic view that we need more immediate and pragmatic focus, and we'll be targeting those parts of the network that are busiest, where even minor hold-ups can turn into major delays, especially on urban roads and highways like the M3, which is the busiest corridor in Africa. Today, we will announce more funding to help Sandra to work up their idea to tackle these challenges. We do so mindful of the fact that the transport sector is facing significant funding needs that cannot be met from the system alone. We need to develop a long-term funding framework and strategy together with the private sector participation framework for transport funding. Government is investing 1.1 billion rand in the upgrade of the notorious Molodo Road, and the process of proclaiming this road as a national road is currently underway, and we are happy to indicate to you that the Limpopo and Mpumalanga process has transferred the part of the road to national, and we are still continuing discussions with the housing government. Our overriding priority is to ensure that we should not only deliver greater road capacity, but also that we make the most to give greater choice and greater general reliability to road users. We also believe that the integrity of an efficient transport system relies on sufficient safe measures to protect our people and freight, and central to this is the enhanced role of the Road Traffic Management Authority. Our 365-day road safety program, which is our anchor project for the implementation of the UN Data of Action for Road Safety campaign, has played its role to oversee road traffic law enforcement and improve road user behavior. But more is to be done in this regard to change the behavior of road users. And we are pleading for support from the media to continue being Road City Ambassadors. Government directly extending care, or government directly extended care to victims of Boston and Canada, and will formally introduce the RAC bill, which provides for the establishment of a new administrator, the RACA, which is the Road Accident Benefit Scheme Administrator, to replace the current Road Accident Fund. This bill has been published for public comments and consultation sessions were held throughout the country with various stakeholders. Ladies and gentlemen, the bill proposes a comprehensive social security safety net scheme that is not fault aid. It will allow expanded access to much needed benefits to road users. This includes the public and private transport passengers, the widows, orphans, and many other dependents previously and currently excluded by virtue of fault. Members of the media, the implementation of the ARP system countrywide is one of our short-term targets. The piloting of the system has been very successful in Gauteng, and the system will be rolled out across all provincial and local authorities. The cross-border road transport agency is doing its part to balance supply and demand for cross-border road passenger transport, and they will be rolling out a market access regulation tool to determine the number of permits to route and promote international cross-border permits. We have also established the National Transport Planning Forum, consisting of all spheres of government, the agencies of the state responsible for transportation, as well as other key partners. The forum will now lead the key strategic training across the transport sector to ensure integration and ensure that there is synergy across all spheres of government. The provincial and local spheres of government, as well as our stakeholders, will continue to advise the national sphere on transport priorities, especially in their own areas. We will soon publish the National Land Transport Strategic Framework, which will inform our integrated transport and land use plan countrywide. We are also on the verge of completing our regional corridor development strategy to enhance our participation in the regional infrastructure development and investment to improve regional land participation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the process of establishing the Single Transport Economic Regulator in order to address the regulatory shortcomings across the transport sector. This will lead to better pricing and more efficient transport infrastructure and services. We are also reviewing the National Freight Logistics Strategy of 2005. This strategy will continue to help us to map our corridors, determine regional integration, freight traffic and congestion. It will also assist us in the development of freight scenarios in the future. We all recognize that it is effective transport planning that is the cornerstone of our objectives and government's wider agenda. This will require a partnership between all spheres of government, NGOs, faith-based organizations, business, and the general public. Through all these interventions, the face of the South African transport sector will be transformed for the better. This will ensure that the ideals of the founding father of our nation, President Nelson Mandela, live on, and this will also be a guarantee that the life of our people will change to the better. In conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, we quote from the Freedom Charter, and it is laid out the first few clauses of the Freedom Charter, which indicate that truly, and I hope that we, the people of Africa, declare for our country and the world to know the following. And it is laid out there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, for the statement. We now proceed, ladies and gentlemen, to the question and answer session. You all know the practice that you to ask who you are and from which organization you come from, Gaza. So we're giving you this platform to raise questions. We'll take 5 questions per session and they will proceed as such. You are the first, second, third. Any trader? Okay, we'll take the special questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ishmael, and then about from the Sunday Times. Minister, for many years now, we have heard about the shifting of freight from road to rail. And there's no disagreement on that it's very necessary. But it really is a bit of an annual refrain almost. What has your department done over the past year, and what is it currently doing that is tangible to make this change happen.
Thank you.
The interesting thing is, the existing funding for handrail, was that just an extra amount, and why is it necessary? And if you can give us any feedback around the amount we have, can or on the half end, whether that may recommend, how are you going to respond to recommendations? Where are we with that regard? And is Sanrail not facing sort of financial problems now? It's just experiencing problems raising money on the capital markets. Thank you.
Minister, on the issue of Sanrail again, on the Western Cape tolling of the road, so there seems to be a resistance from the city of Cape Town and the province in that they apparently do not need the upgrades on the roads that Sanrail is intending to toll. That's why they're going to court. Why is this tolling of the roads in the Western Cape still necessary? And then on the implementation of the AART loans to the rest of the country, you say it's going to be rolled out. When is this going to be? And lastly, if I may, there's also the issue of... let me ask the next question. Well,
thank you very much.
I'm going to take the easy question. They say for many years we've heard about moving fresh to rail. What has been done so far? Is that what the question is? I just want to indicate to you that I'm sure you are aware about the more than 300 billion rand investment in traffic to make sure that the deal with the rolling stock as well as dealing with the network challenges, as well as knowing that we are busy with regard to designating those the cargo that needs to be taken from the road onto the rail, the non-perishable, the ore, and all those others. So it is important that I give an indication today that the investment in Transnet is actually as a response to that. And I'm sure you are aware that Transnet is building even wagons right here in South Africa. So as part of creating an environment for us to create the jobs and the manufacturing or the assembly of those wagons and locomotives locally, you know definitely it will take a little bit of more time. But in this particular year, we would want to make sure that we finish the designation of the type of cargo that needs to be taken off the road to rail. We are all engaging with the long distance and freight haulers to make sure that whatever we do, we can be able to accommodate their assumptions but also accommodate their needs. The issues related to extra funding for Sanrail and the issue of the e-toll panel, and is Sanrail facing financial challenges? I think the CEO of Sanrail will answer that part, but I just need to give an indication with regard to the e-toll panel. I'm happy to indicate to you that when the Premier of Gauteng received the panel report, after considering the report or the details of the report, he started the consultative process, and that led him to engage with us as national government, and as usual, we always indicated that this matter is not necessarily just a road issue, it is a funding issue, so the engagement involves ourselves as well as the National Treasury or the Minister of Finance and the President, President Zuma, established a team led by the Deputy President, constituted by Transport, supported by Sanrail, as well as the Gauteng Government and National Treasury, to consider the recommendations that were coming from the panel and also to consider the implications of everything else that were involved. I'm happy to indicate that the process is almost nearing conclusion, and when done, the district president is the key driver of this process, will be making the pronouncement on where we are with regards to the consultation after the panel has presented its report to the Premier, and the Premier has the engagement with national government and the other states of government. The issue related to extra funding for Sunrise, it is important for us to note that as we speak, there is an additional 1,700 and more kilometers that provinces are giving to Sunrise. And as these kilometers of road network increase, there would be a need for us to increase the funding for Sunrise. You would know that the Sunrise network is not only the toll part of the network, there are also those non-toll areas of the network that we need to make sure that Sunrise can continue having its responsibility with regard to that. And
Deputy Minister, were you able to answer the one question, please?
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Did
you were able to answer the one question, please?
No, not now, yes. I will answer this one. There's an indication that you say that there seems to be resistance from Western Cape and from Cape Town. I think that the best people to answer that is the leadership of the government of the Western Cape and Cape Town about why they resist to deal with the challenges that we have of congestion on the roads in Cape Town and the Western Cape. Because it is important that you remember that one of the key aspects of our contribution as the transport sector to the reduction of the greenhouse gas emissions as espoused in the National Climate Change Response Strategy. That is a national strategy. We've got to make sure that we reduce congestion. And one of the areas to make sure that we reduce congestion is to make sure that our road network can accommodate the growth of vehicles. At the same time, we are increasing our ability, and I'm sure you would have realized that we have increased the network for the IRPTM, the Integrated Rapid Public Transport Network, which is now called my city in Cape Town. That's part of the network, make sure that we can reduce the number of people who use their own vehicles. But at the same time, you must realize that the roads in the Western Cape and in Cape Town in particular are heavily congested. So their challenge to why they are resisting funding, I would believe that they would be best placed to answer that particular question. Someone will answer the question related to whether they are facing financial challenges, and Akia will answer the question about outlook.
Thank you, Minister.
The most, can you come to the phone? That is the most senior CEO in the transport transformation. A lot of experience in this wide area. This way.
And thanks for the question. But people seem to keep on forgetting, and the number of times that I've spoken to you as well about this, that there's two parts to Sunrise business. The one part is a non-toll road part of it. It constitutes 85% of our road portfolio, out of a total of 21,403 kilometers of roads. And then there's the 3,103 kilometers of roads, which is the toll roads. It's only 15% of our portfolio. So it is wrong to conflate the two and to turn around and say that we are facing financial difficulties. We believe that in Sunrise, and if you look at our reports, except our annual reports that we publish, that we'll be very prudent in terms of how we have managed our business. So we're not running into bankruptcy or anything of the sort that we're going to fold up tomorrow and then there's not going to be any. But like any business, of course, they have to earn an income. But the investment that we've made, and also more importantly to be able to repay the loans that we have been able to raise and the bonds that we issue, and investors expecting a return on that particular investment. So we will be able to manage our business, and as our minister said, we see the light at the end of the tunnel as far as the G4 is concerned, and we're fairly confident that this will still be a growing business. Thanks. Unfortunately for the moment, no, there hasn't been an appetite for the moment for our paper because of the uncertainty which has been created. But like I say, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and we're very confident that once that pronouncement has been made by the Honourable Deputy President of our country, that, you know, certainty will return, and the appetite for our paper will return as well, as we've shown in the past. The confidence of our investors, we haven't lost the confidence of our investors as yet, because we do talk to them on a regular basis, very regularly over there, but they just want to make sure that the issue around the GFIP has been sorted out so that we can continue with our lives normally. I want to make it clear to you, as I said, mentioned earlier, that the current situation has not affected the liquidity of our business or us as a going concern. Because, and I want to repeat that we've been extremely prudent in terms of how we've been running our business, in terms of making sure that we have sufficient reserves to be able to meet the funding requirements as we go forward.
Thank you, Minister. The question in respect of the national rollout of the ABDO, wanted to call that currently we're implementing it in the municipalities in Gauteng, and we have been engaging with the issuing authorities as well as all the provinces with respect to making sure that everybody else is fully ready and capable to undertake the implementation of the national rollout. We are envisioning that we will be rolling it out nationally in the next financial year, 2016-17, at the beginning of it, and that is the 1st of April in 2016. We continue to engage with all of them, and everybody else is fully gearing themselves to that readiness so that we can effectively and efficiently roll out to every single authority that we have in the country.
Thank you very much. Shall we have another round of questions? Shall you be the first?
Good morning, Paul Bigel from Bloomberg. The one selected president makes an announcement, seems that it's for federal rating as for having a bond issue and use of the line of state.
Can you very much to present that one? On the transfer to municipalities, how much of a worry is this national transport department, also to the ministry, that the state of roads in municipalities in general is not very healthy? Are you insisting on municipalities prioritizing this particular service delivery, or what's your attitude towards that?
Minister, if you were a rugby player, I'd say you'd have to be a centre for sidestepping that Western that issue so well. But I wondered whether you could take us through process here. Could there be any hold-up in the process if the City of Cape Town and the Western Cape Provincial Government did oppose toll roads in the Cape Town Metro? Could you take us through the process which that would imply? What are your powers? What are their powers? And to what extent is this a problem?
Thank you.
Okay.
On the council of municipalities, I know a couple of years back there was talk about increasing funds so that to ensure that the municipalities actually use them on their own, because what they were doing is you get their money, but they weren't actually using it on their own, they were using it on other things. Has that happened, or is it in the process happening?
Okay, thank you very much. Lisa, your comment?
Can we allow
and I will ask the DPG responsible for roads to respond to the issues related to standards and grades of roads and municipal level. And I'll deal with the one of the 50 emails.
We deal with one issue first. We will go back to the market once we sorted out the previous to the GFOP issue, and we will continue raising the funds that we require. Now, Minister, to speak my head out, let us talk about the issue around the windmills as well. Yes. If we had sufficient money in our country to go around, we probably would not really the need for our partnership with our private sector to be able to help us fund our infrastructure in our country. But we need to recognize, we all of us sitting here in this room and everybody else outside, that with the kind of disparate demands being made on the national focus, on the national budget, that this isn't enough to go around to meet all of our budgetary challenges that we face in our country. Unfortunately, I don't find anybody, and perhaps even you, won't tell us as to where do we need to make the cuts to be able to meet the challenges in providing the road infrastructure which serves both the economic and the social needs of our country. As our minister said earlier on, roads have multiple purposes that they serve, and two amongst them is the movement of goods and people. Now, how do we make sure that we do that? And at the same time, make sure that, for instance, if we continue subsidizing public transport the way that we do. I think I said this to your paper. They're running a deficit on my city of nearly 600 million rand. How are they going to fund that particular thing and be able to fund the road? Why doesn't the city of Cape Town fund their much needed roads as well? So these are the multitude of challenges that one faces in terms of saying that, yes, we are going to continue subsidizing public transport. And let me too. As opposed to be turning around and saying that we are going to provide the roads and that is why where the user pay principle comes into play as far as roads are concerned. This is the challenges that we need to be able to find. And I make an appeal here to the city of Cape Town that perhaps they should concentrate on running a good public transport system and we will provide the roads for them to run the public transport system on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, colleagues. The issue of the transfer to the municipalities on the road infrastructure. Yes, we do transfer to the provincial government, not to the municipality, not to the level of government or municipality. There is an MIG, which is the Municipal Infrastructure Grant, that is mainly taking care of those in the municipal level. So we, as the National Department of Transport, we do the transfer to the provincial roads authorities, where we do the split of 60-40, meaning that 40 goes to the maintenance of the road infrastructure, under the PRMG for the roads maintenance act. So we monitor those kinds of transfers on a regular basis, when the province is in many orders, we fix what holes, we do the remainder rehabilitation, the shadow rehabilitation and so forth. So that in order to make sure that the roads are rideable in all conditions. We also deal with the issue of the other roads to schools, clinics, and in the rural area that is playing the local roads. That's the conditional grant that we are talking about. So the municipalities is another level of government where they've got the dedicated funding, also the conditional, but what the MIG is, the Municipal Infrastructure Fund. So we do assist them on a regular basis, like my colleague Sandra, is making sure that we do go to the provincial level and also at the municipal level in making sure that we do transfer skills and maintain skills in terms of the capacity of the municipalities. The ring-fencing of frontiers, that is the general issue, let's say that I was referring to. There are conditionalities where these funds are being transferred under specific conditions whereby the provincial governments are using them so that we can monitor them. There are specific conditions, you can't use it somewhere else other than just roads, specific roads on the internet. These are the conditional terms, the other issues which are strictly adhered to. So that is why we are saying, yes, you have correct transfer, we do, but not to the level of the on roads, but we do check on the interest one, on the physical street. Yeah, I think that is where we are in terms of the road infrastructure and classes of roads. As to which ones are responsible for us and which ones are responsible for communities as well as the municipal and municipal as well. So thank you very much for that.
And the
end
transport
session will be dealt by the industry responsible for public transport. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. The National Land Transport Association Framework is prepared in terms of Section 34 of the NLTA, the National Land Transport Act. And it indicates that the minister shall prepare 5-year land NLTFF. And then it also, in terms of Section 2, indicates that if there was one prepared in terms of the Transition Act, the NLTTA, the National Land Transport Transition Act, it shall be in force until a new one is prepared. Now we do have the National Land Transport Strategic Framework prepared in terms of the NLTTA, which is up for an update now, which is part of the work that the Minister indicated that we will do the review of that framework act. You will recall that that is the plan that informs PLTS, the Provincial Land Transport Framework, and therefore the ITT, of which RTTM that we are rolling out, the RTTM and the like, are part of.
The legal is from RTT, ITT will answer the stay one.
Thank you, Minister. The issue of stay arose as a result to ensure that South Africa has got economic regulation. We do have safety regulation in place, but stay is principally for single transport economic regulator to ensure that there is a regulatory certainty from the economic impact start, and primarily to assist lowering cost of doing business in South Africa.
Thank you very much. With regards to what we are going to do with the taxi industry, I would believe that we all know that we have been involved as a government with a program called the Taxi Recap, which was intended to make it possible that we replace the old vehicles with new ones and enhance safety. And also, as a department and as a government, we realized that this industry is a massive industry. Not us saying that statistics actually indicate that. It carries about 58% of the commuters. And it's a, it is a transport of choice of about 58% of the 5.4 million commuters. So in essence, it means that the operators and the role players in the taxi industry, when we talk about empowerment, and when we talk about them being able to participate in the total value chain, we need to enable, we need to facilitate as a department responsible for transport. For example, if you look at the size of the taxi industry, and yet they don't have a role to play in the fuel retail sector,
they don't have a role to play in the fair or the motor spare industry. They also don't have a role to play in the manufacturing and assembly of vehicles. So in essence, they are driving and operating vehicles that they don't have a stake in. And we want to make sure that they could be empowered to participate also in that particular space. But also saying that the taxi industry is one industry that is broad-based, that can be able to, within the framework of what they are doing, as a transport sector having launched and established the Transport Charter Council, we believe that this is one sector where we talk about broad-based and where it operates, especially in view of the fact that it is predominantly a black and urban type of transport sector. So we as a department and as a ministry believe that we need to enable the participation of the taxi industry operators across the total transport sector. We have already started, I'm sure you are aware, that we participate as stakeholders in the IPTN, which is the DRC system. So please, in every vote, we need to create an avenue and an ability for them to participate. But I also want to, I don't know whether all the questions were answered. Yes, I believe so. I cannot conclude without mentioning some of our milestones. I'm sure you are aware that this month and the first week that we have within this pilot, in particular this week which has been declared called Welfare Week, I want to call it, the introduction by the Department of the Child Restraint. And I hope all of you who have got children under three have invested in the country. So, for the safety of our children. But also, we are very excited that all the regulatory and legal processes that Transa has followed with regard to the a train manufacturing facility in Ekurhuleni have been done. We are very excited. We are ready for the opportunity. We inform the media very soon when we do the opportunity. But also, very exciting, one of our CEOs, the GCA, which is the Director of Portable Aviation in South Africa, has been appointed as the Aviation Security Committee Chairman of the ICAO. We are very excited about those particular type of achievements. And for information, the only woman is using a transport entity. So it tells you.
Thank you, Minister. Due to time, colleagues, we won't be taking any questions. I see Zandon is failing to ask one.
My question actually wasn't answered. I asked the process question and it was given the policy reply. I said, I asked Minister, if the Western Cape government and the city of Cape Town continues its opposition to toll roading in our metro, and in the Winelands greater region. What are the implications? Do you have the power to overrule it or don't you? And to what extent is that a problem?
Is there any
the reply is the panel. This is the last set of questions because we are sharing the venue with our department. Now we need to move up now.
Can you clarify all these
calls
with anything
in Harvard
until the
start
speaking? Is that correct?
Okay, we'll clarify that now.
The one thing that I wanted to respond to, we'll check that speaking with GDIS. Maybe they are switching the highlights and without necessarily going into the details of the speech. But I think it is important that you as a responsible I do. The one area that I wanted to respond to is we all know that there was a court ruling that indicated that provinces and municipalities don't have jurisdiction over national. And this matter also with the Western Cape is set before the court, I believe, and I would want us to allow for a process to unfold. But let me just say, we don't want a situation where when the roads are no longer passable, then the National Department and SANRA should be held responsible. That is why we believe through the Intergovernmental Framework Act, we will continue engaging with the Western Cape and the city of Cape Town to instill sense in them for them to understand that it is important that we proactively address the unintended consequences of congestion on our roads, but also because you would know that a congestion creates delays, and those delays have got serious implications for the economy, but also for society broadly. We've got serious challenges of road rage, people who, because of challenges of being caught up in lengthy delays on the road, end up being very aggressive, being stressed, and all those type of things. So the interventions that we are making is also to try and manage the usage of the road. We know that the more we use the user pay principle, the more we will be able to improve on our network and have good roads, but also we will be able to make sure people start changing their behavior of road users, the road usage, the new clubs, as well as usage of public transport, as well as the other alternatives that could be available. So thank you very much. I would believe that we will engage in terms of the environmental relations with the Western Cape as well as the city of Cape Town.
Thank you, Mr. and the panel. Ladies and gentlemen of the media, thank you very much for coming. We will engage with the minister outside if there are any further clarity and the panel. Thank you very much.